I invite you to turn with me to Exodus 22. We're looking at the crimes today. This text breaks down into the concerns of property rights and concern for crimes against humanity. So the question we must address, what is right and what is wrong? For some, right and wrong is relevant. But God gave you a standard. The college professor, the guy on the street, the guy at the grocery store, they may tell you the truth is relative. That which is right and wrong is relative. But what does God's Word say? God's Word says that He gave you a standard. Our laws in this nation are based off of the precepts that are found in Exodus 21, 22, 23, and 24. These deal with nitty-gritty living. What's interesting is liberals want to take the scriptures and develop their own canon within a canon. And based on which liberal you're talking to will determine which scriptures that they deem to be their canon within a canon. Many liberals will take Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 as the pinnacle of the canon. But you cannot have Matthew 5, 6, and 7 without Exodus 21, 22, 23, and 24. Well, what do we know about the scriptures? The scriptures give you and me everything that we need, not just for godliness, but for life. We have everything right here within these bindings that we need for both life and godliness. We don't attend worship for godliness only. We attend worship for life and godliness. Life deals with property rights. Life deals with humanity. Let's look at the first 15 verses from Exodus 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen or an ox and 4 sheep or a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he had nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out, and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn, or the standing corn, or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, or ass, or sheep, or raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth it to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast, to keep and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, Then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your law, for your law is good and right. Lord, your law establishes order. And it is for society to follow that law. Because you are altogether right and holy. And you demand nothing less. In your name we pray. Amen. Man is off. You don't have to be a theologian to realize that man is fallen. You don't have to seek out the latest sociological study to realize that man is fallen. Turn on the news. Turn on a sitcom. Turn on cartoons. Just look at our culture and you will know that man is fallen. God's law of restoring fourfold addresses man's fallenness. Because you and me, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from his work of grace in us and through us, we will sin. We will trespass another man's property. And God's law addresses your fallenness and mine. God's law addressed your fallenness and mine uniquely in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was the only man who ever lived, being fully man and fully God, who never trespassed another man's property rights, who never committed a crime against humanity. This fourfold restitution fosters greater awareness in you and me. Think about it. In our day, if one of us wrongs another and we're taken to small claims court, the small claims court will deem that you have to repay that which you wronged. But God's law goes further. God's law says not only do you repay that which you wronged, but you repay fourfold. If you and me, if our culture, if our society were to abide by God's law, we would have an even greater awareness with regard to our actions. For our actions would have greater and more dire consequences. But instead, we don't live in a society anymore that is governed by God's word. We live in a society that has grown further and further and further away from God's word. And part of the problem that we see with America having become such a litigious society where everyone wants to sue his neighbor is because we don't have the respect for property rights that we once had. Zacchaeus, that Eric read about earlier, he was acutely aware of his own sin. Zacchaeus, when he met the Lord Jesus, he was acutely aware of his own sin. He recognized that he was removed from his own people Israel because he had joined himself to Rome. He had employed himself to the Roman Empire, and he was extorting his own people for Rome and in keeping the pilfer. Zacchaeus is the epitome of a man coming face to face with the Lord Jesus. You and me cannot come face to face with the Lord Jesus and not be acutely aware of our sin. For Jesus is what? He is the light of the world. What does light do? Light exposes sin. Think about when you're clean. If you just have one simple light in the center of the room up high, yeah, it sheds light, but as you get further and further away, the further corners don't have the same illumination that we have in the center of the room. But then you take a flashlight and you shine it in that far corner and you see things that you missed. That's what light does. Light exposes that which you and me miss. Light exposes the filth and the dirt. Light exposes sin. And that's what Jesus did with regard to Zacchaeus. That's what Jesus does in you and me. He exposes your sin. You cannot come face to face with Him and not be acutely aware of your own sinful condition. God's law establishes order. The problem with our legal system is men, lawyers, and judges who do not know the Bible and are themselves far removed from it. Isn't it amazing that our Supreme Court has etched on their wall the Ten Commandments? But think about Supreme Court decisions of the last 40 and 50 and 60 years. How many Supreme Court decisions defy those commandments of God that are etched upon the Supreme Court's walls? Obergefell versus Hodges. Roe versus Wade. And of course, we could all point to Madeleine Murray O'Hara. Really got that snowball going. These men neither know the Bible nor are they anywhere near the Bible in their lives. God help America. May God bring to this nation a renewed awareness of His Word and of His law. May God renew within us, His people, a renewed seriousness for God's law. You have the right to protect yourself, which means you have the right to protect your property, your home, and your loved ones. If a man breaks in your house, you have the right to defend your family and your property. There have been occasions when folks have attempted to defend their property, attempted to defend their families. And the one who broke in tried to sue the property owner. And sadly, there have been occasions when the thief had a victory in court. God help us. If a man steals, then he must repay, even to the point of slavery. If a man steals, then he must repay, even to the point of slavery. How much was stolen? That man must repay that which he stole. Think about Bernie Madoff and the Ponzi scheme that he wrought on who knows how many Americans. God's law says that every penny must be repaid, even if that means Bernie Madoff going to prison, and whatever money he makes gets sent back out as restitution to those individuals for his crime, for his sin. God gave Israel this system so they would point the nations to work. You've heard me say before that the Jews are called such because they are God's jewels. They weren't any more righteous than you and me. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, you know that they weren't any more righteous than you and me. God didn't call them out. God didn't separate them from the other nations because of a sinlessness within them, because of a special righteousness within them. God called them out and set them as a city on a hill so that they would be evangelists. So that they would be salt and light to the nations around them. God gave them a very specific judicial system. God gave them very specific laws so that they would point the nations to order. And where is order found? Order is found in God alone. Without order, without an understanding of order concerning property rights, then we will have no order regarding our interactions between man and man. Let's look at 16 to 31. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not beat him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of the ripe fruits and of the liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou not do with thine oxen, with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast. In the field ye shall cast it to the dogs. These are laws concerning humanity, the first of which is rape. Now in our day, a rapist is just sent off to jail. And forever is labeled a sex offender. But what does God's word do? It requires that man to make right that which he made wrong. The people of Moses' day knew something that we don't know anything about. They had a high view of honor, and they had a very clear view of shame. This man that we read about here in verse 16 brought shame upon to this young lady, brought shame upon her household, and as such, he needed to make her honorable again. To make her honorable again, he was to pay her father the dowry according to virgins and make her his wife so that she would be honorable again. He stole her honor, shaming her, and it was his job now to restore the honor that he had stolen. Restitution we read about there in verse 17. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, if the father is so repulsed by the shame that's been brought upon that family, then he is simply to pay the dowry. He pays the dowry, but he doesn't get the wife. Verse 18, we see Satan worship and the supernatural. In our day, we have in our country a great and horrific interest in all things supernatural. There is a horrific interest in Satan worship in our land. And what does God's word say? Read there verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. God took the kingdom from Saul because Saul sought out witches' advice. But yet today, you read any paper in any city, and you'll find this section called the horoscope, in which untold millions of Americans are seeking out satanic advice for their life. Like how Carmen put it, if you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers. You can look to the very one who made those stars. We don't need whatever the names for these different signs are. All we need is the Lord Jesus, the creator and sustainer of all that is. Satan worship has no room in our culture. This heightened awareness and attention to all things supernatural has no place in our culture, and definitely not in our churches. Verse 19, whosoever lieth with the beast shall surely be put to death. Whosoever lieth with the beast shall surely be put to death. In our day, we label this LGBT and then whatever other letters they've attached in there. And sadly, in our day, there's already calls to add B and P to that list of letters. Bestiality and pedophilia. Because that's the end result. When you look at the sin of Sodom, yeah, it was sodomy, it was homosexuality, but it was clear that they had even gone further into their sin, into bestiality. When you read Romans chapter 1, God gave them over. Bestiality is the end result of man's pursuit of his fleshly, lustly desires. Verse 20. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. This is a call to destroy false worship. A call to destroy false worship. Sacrifice to any god other than the Lord is destructive to the nation. Sacrifice to any god other than to the Lord is destructive to the nation. I don't think very many Christians realize the destruction that we averted by not electing Mitt Romney to the presidency in 2012. Mitt Romney would have brought great destruction on this country. Because Mitt Romney is a false worshiper. Mormon theology can be summed up like this. And let me make sure I say it right, because according to Mormon theology, as God is, man will be. As man is, God once was. That is a summary of Mormon theology, and that's what Mitt Romney holds to. He is a false worshiper. He does not surrender his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is consistent in his Mormonism, then it's his belief that one day he will be a god, and he will have his own planet, and he and Ann Romney will populate that planet as the gods of that planet. This false worship is a cancer. And like cancer, we must deal with it aggressively. We don't allow a little bit of false worship to be accepted. We do like Barney Fife said, we nip it in the bud. We nip it in the bud. Sadly, in our day, it's not just Mormons, though. They're guilty. Sadly, in our day, there are a great many churches who were once gospel-centered churches who have fallen so far from that gospel center that they themselves are guilty of a false worship. They themselves are consumed by the cancer of false worship. We need to be calling them out. We need to call them out, whether they have the label Baptist on their sign, or Presbyterian, or Methodist, or United Church of Christ, or Episcopal, or Disciples of Christ. or Lutheran. Because they have forsaken the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Too many of them have given in to pluralism, which means you have your way, I have my way. There is no room for pluralism in the body of Christ. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14 and verse 6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I remember back in the early 90s, when we first moved to Louisville, so Dad could attend seminary. We attended what was then one of these seminary churches for a couple of months. We left there because one Sunday during Sunday school, Mom and Dad were in the adult Sunday school class, and one of the deacon's wives said that she didn't believe that Jesus was the only way to salvation. That was the last time we ever crossed the threshold of that church as a family. Verse 21, we see God's good neighbor policy. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt neither vex nor oppress the stranger. Why? Because God wants Israel to remember who they are and where they came from. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. Guess what? You and me are strangers in this world. This world is not our home. We are simply passing through. We are to have a good neighbor policy. Remember the guy that came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He answered, well, do this and you will live. And who is my neighbor? Jesus. And Jesus told the story about this man that fell among thieves, was left for dead. Priest comes by, passes by on the other side. Levi comes by, passes by on the other side. And then Jesus says the Samaritan comes by and has compassion on him. Jesus telling a good Jew that a Samaritan had compassion on a man. And getting that good Jew to the point of saying the one who showed compassion would have been anathema, because Jews hated Samaritans. But Jesus said, go and do likewise. Verses 22 through 24, we see care for widows. God's Word has been the foundation of all movements that brought blessing to man. God's Word has been the foundation of all movements that brought blessing to man. Atheists don't build hospitals. Go to Cincinnati. Go to Indianapolis. Go to Louisville. Go to any major city. Go to Batesville. Do you see any atheist hospitals? There are none. Why is that? Because every major movement that has brought blessing to mankind has had some sort of roots, has had some sort of connection with the Word of God. God protects the helpless. In verse 25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Don't charge interest. charge interest. Why is that? Because Jesus gave you his all. What little bit you might be able to help your brother or sister, what little bit you might be able to help this guy over here, pales in comparison to what Jesus did for you and for me. The salvation that you and me have is completely passive. You and me can't do anything to repay the debt that was paid on our behalf. When we say Jesus paid it all, we mean it. There's nothing that we did. Our part in salvation is completely passive. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that it is your action and your action alone that makes us holy, that makes us righteous. Lord, you didn't give us these laws just as filler, just as a way of making a connection between Exodus 20 and Exodus 25. You gave us these laws for our life and for godliness. You gave us these laws so that we could point our world, our society, our culture to order. And order is only found in you and in your righteousness. In your name we pray. Amen. If today